Bonk.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. It's in this new era of having a roadcaster, we can actually hear the theme song right now,
yeah.
Which we never were before, which means we also have to wait like, 15 seconds to start talking.
Uh-huh.
So it's just great watching your face as you're waiting for the music to...
Well, it's a great theme song.
It is.
If you listen closely, you can hear us breathe.
That's true. I could mute our mics here. So let's try this here. Okay. Now talk. She's talking right now. I don't know if that's coming through because she's muted, and now...
I'm talking.
There we go. Look at that magic button right there. That's fun.
Magic button.
That's great. A mute button. Yeah, it's new technology
it's the,
here in the Roadcaster.
The proverbial G-spot.
That's what they call it in the biz, yeah.
Just mutes people.
In the audio biz, yes, yes. How are you?
Good.
Good?
Yes.
It is 54 to 49.
What are you saying?
What these numbers represent.
54 to 49?
That's correct. You know what these represent. Think about it. Think about our lives.
It is 54 to 49.
It's 54 to 49 right now.
Is this
it changes daily.
A football thing?
No, something that you know very well.
Is it the weather?
No.
54 to 49.
Come on, you've got it. Something that you encounter every day.
Oh, the war.
The war. Yes, the Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo War. But there is controversy awash in our Puzzle Fighter war right now.
Well, we were neck and neck for a very long time. And then Dan started maining Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And our a chasm merged between our two scores. You took a pretty significant lead. What I would say about like at the biggest, it was probably like six. You were six.
Yeah, I was up about six or so, yeah.
Yeah, which is big because we were neck and neck for a very long time. So we decided to change how we do it now. I normally main Morgan. I've never betrayed her.
Every time you're Morgan.
She's my girl. But now we're going to try something different. I feel like maybe it'll be a better measure of skill, which would be to have us both be the same characters.
Yeah, and we can change that. We can both even be bad characters like, Ryu or something. Or
Dan,
we can both be Ken, who's
is it
overpowered.
Dan the bad guy?
Dan is the like comically bad.
Yeah,
like
Dan
that's
on
his
Dan
whole gimmick.
Action, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's going to be good because before that, we just kept learning that like when we started and I was getting way ahead, that like, oh, Ken is apparently overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to stop doing Ken. And I'm just kind of picking random people and we don't really know. This is a very old arcade game.
Well, yeah, what we did was like, if, for example, I forget what the exact numbers were, but if you were 10 ahead of me, then for 10 matches, I was Ken and you were Morgan. We just kind of flipped it around and,
yes.
It just goes to show how OP he is because I was able to, even it out pretty quickly as Ken.
Yeah, and I care about the integrity of this war way more than I do about winning the war. So it is very important to me that we get this back on track. I think you should be Donovan and I should be Morgan for a solid, until one of us hits 60.
Yes.
And then we go to the mirror match
model. And then, yeah, I feel like that's a good... better measure of skill.
Yeah, because we didn't know. We would have to look it up, and then people would be like, oh, yeah, Donovan's A-plus tier, and, this guy sucks.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we've always loved this game, but my kind of naive impression, with any fighting game, is that there'd be, obviously characters are different, but in general, they're kind of... equal, everything. They have different distribution of the same allotment of points, if you will.
Yeah.
But that's obviously not the case. And as we're playing more, we're learning that certain characters are way stronger than others and, have a big advantage. And I noticed with Donovan, he drops a lot of reds and yellows, and it's hard to counter that, especially if I was getting a bunch of greens and blues before that. So
that was the same with Ken, I think, is that he was doing a lot of reds and yellows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems like no one drops a lot of greens.
It's hard to say. It's hard because I'm not super keen on the details and I only notice the stuff if I'm like repeatedly encountering it.
Mm-hmm.
You are much more diverse in your character choice. So there may have been a character that did drop a bunch of green on me, but it didn't stand out to me at the time.
Sure.
But we'll have to look at that menu, that character select screen and go through and see.
Yeah. Yeah. I look forward to continuing it. We're basically half done with it.
Yeah.
With the first season.
Exciting. Yeah. It's a long war. Some days we'll do a few matches in one day, but at least we're doing one a day. We're doing minimum one a day.
Yeah, and at some point recently, I turned to you and I was like, are we going to be doing this when we're 60? Mm-hmm. And I just can't fathom a reason that this would not be a daily thing that we do for the rest of our lives.
We lose all our fingers and we just have little nubs.
That'd be bad, yeah. We could find a way to do it. We get some sort of special controller and still play.
Unless we lose the means to play it, I can't see us. stopping.
Let's say hypothetically we spend the next 40 years playing this game every single day. By the end, will this be the most played video game for both of us in our entire lives? I would have to imagine.
I mean, it's hard to say, like, with the hour count and stuff like that. I mean, I feel like I can't say about any other game that I'm playing this once a day consistently. But, like, hour count, like, who knows? Maybe there's going to be some gigantic RPG that just dominates my life and I put thousands of hours into it. Because, like, a Puzzle Fighter match, the beauty of it is they only last, like, max 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know? And so it's very easy to, like, there's not really an excuse to not squeeze one in, mm-hmm. you know, every day. It's like the way I think of, like, meditation, where it's, like, it's 10 minutes. You know, like, I don't really have an excuse if it's like, oh, I haven't been meditating, I don't have time. It's like, you don't have, get up 10 minutes earlier.
Well, meditation has clear benefits for your well-being. And
Puzzle Fighter is very, very fun, and there's a benefit there.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, delightful, delicious little game.
Yes, so we'll give you updates as we get closer to the end, but it's going to be a while.
The season of Croy. The memorial season.
That's true. For those wondering, Croy was the one egg out of five from the bird's nest on our front mm-hmm. door that got some eggs dropped in it there, the one that didn't make it.
Yep, he was never cracked. He never was able to get through that egg.
Yep, we named all the eggs before they hatched. Mm-hmm. All four of them hatched into healthy, gross, pooping birds, and it was disgusting.
Don't put a wreath on your front door.
We got back from a wedding and it went from being like, oh, look at these adorable little, oh my God, they're like cartoon little baby birds.
Dan described it as a basket of birds, which I feel like is perfect because it was just so whimsical and delightful to open the door. And, you know, we wouldn't disturb them. We were behind glass, but just to look and see the little chirping birds with their mouths open, wanting some food. And we go to Minnesota and come back and like, it was like a nuclear bomb of bird shit had dropped.
They grew up. They were hairier and grosser looking, mm-hmm. And they had to like cram in there more, so they looked uncomfortable.
And they looked,
so that
like,
was unpleasant.
Angry.
Yeah, they looked pissed off. They didn't look like cute little babies fresh out of the egg. And then not only was there shit all over the front door window, but also with the shit came a bunch of tiny bugs and everything. Mm-hmm. But like, we were adamant that like, we didn't even use the front door during that time.
No, and that's the thing too. On top of all of that, we didn't even use the front door, so it was a major inconvenience, mm-hmm. and it was fucking disgusting.
Yeah, so we couldn't like go out there and clean it because that would disturb, you know, nature's way with the wreath or the nest and all that. So, boy, we're glad those four, you know, left the nest quite literally. But man, that was a whole thing. That's all to say. Croy is the reason that this is the season of Croy.
Croy is the reason for the season.
That is absolutely true. You been watching anything?
Been watching
Maid. You liking
Netflix.
That?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Very different from my life.
Ah, I see.
And you know, it's not a fun show.
No? Is it? Is there any levity whatsoever to it?
No.
Okay, because I'm watching like Succession, and like it is all terrible people in terrible circumstances and things, but like there is a levity and a humor to the circumstances.
Oh, it's constant.
You know?
It's hilarious. Humor, every line is hilarious.
Yeah, every character cracks me up in a different way. Yeah,
it's so fast.
So nothing like that. No levity there.
Oh my God, no! It's the opposite of Succession. It's extremely poor people struggling, and you know, being like trying to be good and take care of their, you know, struggling to take care of their daughter. Versus Succession, which is just billionaires, you know,
trying to be worse people.
Yeah, complaining about butter or whatever.
That literally does sound like the polar opposite of the show I'm watching.
But I'm also enjoying the new season of Succession. Dan and I are just on different. You started recently, and I was watching along with
it's my workout show. I watch an episode while I work out, mm-hmm. so it's been great. And we've been watching Curb a couple episodes into this season. It's fine. Makes us laugh a couple times each episode.
You can count on one like audible chuckle per episode. Although the first episode really got me with the walking into glass.
You liked that a lot. That was very good.
I mean, that's just the best thing.
It's very funny. It's objectively hilarious every time.
It's never not funny. No.
I'd say the most lasting impact this season of Curb will have so far on me is that I saw Leon wearing a tracksuit in the most recent episode, and I turned to you and I said, what is that? What do you call that thing that he's mm-hmm. wearing? And you said, that's a tracksuit. And I bought a tracksuit that night, and it just arrived in the mail today. I've not worn it yet, but I'm very excited.
As soon as Leon came on the TV, Dan was just like mouth agape, eyes were twinkling. He was like, what is that? And I was like, that's a tracksuit. And then you went on Amazon and bought yourself a tracksuit.
Right away. So that's going to be, get used to that.
So are you going to have like an assortment of tracksuits? Then you'll have like different ones for different days?
We'll see. Let me see how this one treats me because I'm trying to get a variety of of loungy stuff to wear around the house. I got the mac and cheese outfit that Stouffer sent me.
You look good in that.
Thank you. It's a hoodie it's and very, mac and know, cheese it's pants. It's
surprisingly flattering.
It's just a giant it high just res. It looks like,
good on you. I don't know.
Like macaroni and cheese looks good to eat?
You look good to eat.
Oh, my God. My goodness. Oh, no. I got witnesses. That's the wrong one. Yeah. I don't think I have a winner. What's this one, dude? No, that's not it.
This was the porn disc.
I don't think I have that. I should get that button.
Just Eve walking away from Sean Archer.
Yeah.
In her, like, giant tent-like school marm outfit with, like, no, you can't even tell the outline of her butt.
That's such an unnecessary thing that they put that sound effect in there. Boom.
Yeah. What's the name of that actress again?
Joan Allen.
Joan Allen. Yes. I mean, geez, beautiful woman. But come on, yeah. Porn based?
I really, that should be on this. I definitely need to do get that sound out of here. Okay, remind me after this. I can make that happen very easily. Uh-huh. Okay.
We should have like a panning the stream, like a month of like the sexiest movies ever. And we could introduce the porn based.
What do they say? They say 9.5, 9.5 weeks. That's supposed to be one of the most, like Mickey Rourke. I just remember early 90s. It was controversial.
I haven't seen that, but I have heard of that. And yeah, that could be it.
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct. I've always wanted to see Crash, not the
sex one.
Yeah, the sex one.
Yeah,
I'm really curious about that. And Shame, obviously phenomenal. Shame, I think we've both seen that.
Yeah, GoldenEye. Yeah. Maybe we could get some work out of the worm.
Yeah, we should do that. Porning the stream.
That's pretty good. That's not porn. It's just, it's not even like erotica. It's just like movies that are known to be a little sultry.
Panning the sexy stream. You haven't seen Last Tango in Paris, have you?
No, you watched that, right?
It's a good
is
one.
Is that Brando?
Yeah, Marlon Brando.
I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah, it's, oh my God. He's like, it's just one, I don't know if it's just like a relic of the time, but his character is completely insane. And like no one in the movie is like, hey dude, you need help.
Oh,
like
really?
Everyone's like, oh, how nice and romantic. Meanwhile, he's just being fucking horrible.
Oh really?
Yeah. Huh.
It's funny how movies can be definite time capsules of values and things like that. I remember watching Rear Window and thinking some of that stuff. Like, man, Jimmy Stewart's just being a fucking asshole here. Like, is he the protagonist?
Yeah. All he's doing is like, it's like a modern day equivalent would be like someone who just like spends all day stalking people on Instagram that he's like never met or talked to before. You know what I mean?
God, you're right. That would be the modern one.
Yeah. Just like, I never met this person, but let me make assumptions about their life or whatever.
Yeah, or just like responds to every tweet someone makes about their personal life. Yeah. And yeah.
But then you witness a murder on Instagram.
Yes.
And then you have to solve the Instagram murder.
You know, there are worse reboots of classic movies you could do.
Well, you know, there was that influencer that recently, there was that, you know, she was all over the news. She got murdered by her.
I feel like I saw headlines, but I don't really know. Is her name Gabby?
Gabby Pepito or whatever.
Okay, yeah, I saw headlines.
But yeah, that was very much like all those armchair detectives, because she had so much, you know, so much of her life was on social media. So
sure.
People, like trying to parse it out.
So don't fuck with cats situation?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's different words. That's like, different, you know, the victim versus the, yeah.
But still, like, you know, internet playing a prominent role in the,
sure.
Trying to solve this stuff.
And a lot of times that happening between like the Boston Marathon bomber and stuff like that, where it's like,
I mean, yeah, sometimes it's terrible. The Boston Marathon, I feel like that's the example of like why like Reddit doesn't like, you know, like that hive mind doesn't sick themselves on people anymore, because yeah, it's a perfect example. I mean, you've seen it time and time again. It's just like a different manifestation of like how the media will hear one piece of information and just like put that out there, and then people hear that and like, oh, that must be true. But then it turns out it's not true. But then that's what they heard. So
I feel like it's like the Richard Jewell wasn't the, this was kind of, we were both very, very young, you younger than me.
I don't know that story, but there was a biopic made about it.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood made one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I'm only familiar with it because of the trailer that I saw for that movie.
Yeah, I remember this being a huge story. I would have been 12. It was 96. And basically there was like a bombing at Olympic Park when it was in Atlanta. And I think one person died and several people got injured. And there was like, I'm going to get this wrong. I think he worked around there. He was a security guard or something like that.
He called in the bomb.
That's right. He called in the bomb, and then he wound up being accused of it. And I think it wound up that he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if people liked that movie or not. I don't know. I know Clint can be kind of hit or miss on stuff.
Yeah, the Trenchcoat Mafia is another famous example of that.
Doom and Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Speaking of the media misleading people, it's almost as if we're on a train and we see CNN and they're talking about a bunch of protesters, but it's actually a bunch of infected people that have this weird zombie infection and are killing each other.
My God. I thought you were going to do something about we were following all this stuff like zombies, you know, like we're following in, you know, like social media hive mind zombies. I thought that's what you were going with. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's right, folks. Train to Busan.
So we have two different segues that you could choose there.
Just pick which one you want. You can download this as an MP3, edit out the one you don't like, and then you can, you know, upload that to your app or whatever.
Skip ahead 30 seconds. Yeah. Go back 10 seconds, whatever. Exactly.
Yes. I'd heard of this movie for a long time. I don't know much about zombie movies at all. I don't think we've ever covered one for this podcast. I don't know if we've ever watched.
We recently did the one with Batista and what's
it? Oh, Army of the Dead. Army of the Dead. Yeah, that was fun. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was exactly what I expected from a zombie movie.
I remember being in the mood for that when we watched it, though, and being like, okay, I wasn't let down. You know?
I mean, but I feel like you hear a zombie movie, you expect a certain degree of like action and stuff like that, like large scale battles, running away from hordes of zombies, you know, gore and stuff like that. And this movie had all of that. Train to Busan is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It had all of that stuff, but it was a very different movie than Army of the Dead.
It seemed Army of the Dead was very kind of flashy, not marvelly, but was it James Gunn? Was that?
No.
Who was it? I think he was involved.
It's the guy that does the Zack Snyder, right?
Zack Snyder, yeah. Right? Yeah. So it was like super flashy, you know, lots of slow-mo type stuff or whatever. This
very heavy-handed, like he made himself. It was very obvious that this was a Zack Snyder movie.
Yes, you noticed the directing.
Yeah, the directing was very loud.
Yes. This one, it is not afraid to deal in subtlety, which I like a lot. And I think early on, it was kind of subtle where it's like, okay, when they're boarding the train, you see this, you know, just very briefly in the background, this like girl runs on the train.
No, it's right in front of the screen. It's not in the background at all.
No, it's in the, was it not?
It's very close. It happens behind the guy who's
right. No, I mean, it's noticeable, but like there are times like once they're on the train and it's starting to move and everything that you see someone like, oh, get tackled, you know, out the window or, you know, there's commotion at the top of the escalator. It's like, they're not showing everything in like full gory detail. Like this movie does get gory for sure, but like, there are, it lets some mystery kind of simmer at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like this, even though you know what you're getting into when you know a movie's a zombie movie, but somehow this movie does such a good job of building the suspense and the tension because it doesn't, like you were saying, it doesn't show you everything. It doesn't tell you everything. Like there's even, at the end of the movie, there's still like, you know, I wouldn't even say unresolved plot points because it didn't like go into it. But like, for example, the cause of the outbreak is hinted at and suggested, but we never really know.
And ultimately, who gives a fuck? Like, if I'm watching a zombie movie, I don't want a bunch of screen time dedicated to like, oh, what lab accident was there, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I think that speaks to the kind of movie this is, too. I mean, the main character in the movie dies in such a mundane way, you know what I mean? Which I absolutely love. I hate when, like, oh, just because he's the main character, he has to die in some super heroic, you know, tied to the rack and screaming freedom like the dude in Braveheart. Like, no, it's just, it's a very mundane. I just really like that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were going to do, we're skipping to the end, but like, I thought they were going to do the thing where he cuts off his hand. His hand gets bit by a zombie. I thought he was going to cut it off and be like, oh, I made it, you know, but like, no, he just kills himself off the back of a train.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really interesting. The movie starts, obviously, there's no outbreak yet. At least it's kind of suggested that something is amiss, but you don't really know the degree of it. And then as the movie goes on, you start learning about the scope of the situation, and you are like, unlike Army of the Dead, this is a much more focused movie, and it kind of just takes place between these passengers on this train. And so you're learning more about the nature of the epidemic and how these zombies, they don't really call them zombies, but how these infected people operate, like what
the rules are.
What the rules are, exactly. Yeah. You know, that they, if they don't see you, then they're not going to attack you, if they don't hear you.
But they teach you that as the viewer and the characters, the humans, in such cool ways where it's like, there's the one thing where a bunch of the good guys are about to get attacked and then the train goes through the tunnel. And all of a sudden, every single zombie starts doing that, like kind of freaking out and their heads are twitching and like the lights are just like something about the lights or not being able to see fucks with them. And then like you learn like, okay, if you put the newspaper up over the door, they're going to stop feverishly clawing at it, trying to get to you, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing too. The way the zombies behave, or we'll just call them zombies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about if I say zombies. I think it's so kind of creepy and, you know, I feel like pop culture has been so inundated with zombie stuff that we're all kind of desensitized to it. But it's this movie, like, actually their movements and their jerky movements and stuff, and the fact that they still look so human, it made it so much more creepy to me watching it, you know?
Yeah. The thing that I loved was like the quick turn. Because like, I feel like, you know, that's a zombie rule where it's like you get bit, you turn into one. But I've never seen one that's so fast where it's like you get bit, okay, eyes kind of glaze over, and all of a sudden, rah, like just the head goes up, you know, that you're just screaming. Like all the extras, all the people that played zombies were so good at just like jerky, herky jerky motions. Like sometimes they're running with like a broken arm behind their back. Like they're very fast, screaming. Like all the facial expressions were great. Like everyone they got for this zombie group was great.
Yeah, great. And it seems like all they know how to do is to, you know, continue to spread the outbreak, because they don't know how to open doors, which is very helpful on the train because people are able to close doors and protect themselves. But one of my favorite parts of the movie was, so they're on this train and there's an infected passenger, you know, sneaks by, and subsequently other people on the train start getting infected, and, you know, the situation becomes more obvious to the people on board. And the train is like rerouted to the city, Daejeon. I'm going to slaughter everything. Sure. So I'm not going to try to say the names of the characters, but I will describe them.
Here's my description. I'm curious. Let's compare notes here.
Okay.
I've got main guy.
Main guy, fund manager, yeah.
Okay. And that is, by the way, Gong Woo is the actor, and he was in Squid Game. Mm-hmm. He was the guy who like recruited basically for it. And he's great in this.
Oh, yes.
So, okay, we got main guy. We've got daughter.
Yes.
I've got cool dude.
Cool dude, uh-huh.
Is that yours too?
No, I have husband.
Oh, okay. I've got pregnant woman.
Yes.
I've got asshole.
Yeah, the business executive asshole guy. Yeah, there's also the baseball player and the baseball players.
Yeah, and the cheerleader and things like that.
The homeless guy and the elderly sisters. Yeah. So anyway, they get to this city, which is supposedly like a safe zone. That's where the train is rerouted. And they get off the train and it's just eerily quiet. And, you know, you're seeing this from their perspective. So all you see is that it's freakishly quiet too. And you know, if this is a quarantine zone or whatever, they're expecting the military to be there. They're expecting to be, you know, told where to go, to be checked to see if they're infected or whatever, but there's no one. And one of my favorite parts is when they're walking down the escalators and you could kind of see you could see the military fatigues, like the camouflage, whatever they're called. And you kind of, you start to see the bodies of the soldiers, and they're facing the other way as if they're looking at something, but they're all just kind of, you know, moving and jerking. And then you realize they're jerking that way because they're all infected.
Yeah.
So all the military in the city are infected. And that's why it's so fucking quiet, because everyone got infected. I just love that moment so much.
Isn't that the scene where it's like, they thought it was safe because he called like a analyst he works with, and he's like, hey, is this, because the guy's like a fund manager. And
well, I think for that, he called some lieutenant that he knew. In that case, it was like some lieutenant something, because the analyst isn't actually on the ground.
Oh, see, I thought because he went into a thing called Lemmings on his phone, and I thought he was using Lemmings as his like thing for like customers.
Yeah, it might be, but the person he talked to, I remember he said was like lieutenant something.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think he probably went to, he's like, oh, I work with this guy So he thinks it's going to be this like safe handoff thing. And I love the part where the daughter is there and like all these zombies are sprinting right at her. She's screaming, and they did a great job of framing it. So it's just like cool dude's elbow comes in, husband, you know, the big guy. And I love that part where he saves them and they make an escape from the station.
Yeah. Cool guy husband is so fucking cool in this movie. Like from the jump, he's just awesome. He's got a great personality, very likable, just got a really affable face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He literally looks like a Japanese pro wrestler.
Yeah. And he's super badass.
Yeah.
Supposedly this movie like was a breakthrough role for him. And he was subsequently in a lot of roles, and he's like one of the biggest actors in Korea now because of this movie, which was only 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, good for him. I mean, he deserves it. He was fantastic in this film.
I wonder how well-known Gong Woo was beforehand, because obviously he's in Squid Game now, which is a huge deal, but like, I wonder if he was a known actor before this. Or
yeah, he's been in quite a few movies, and there's this show called Coffee Prince, I guess. It's a really big show over there. But yeah, he was a well-known actor. I don't know if this raised a star, you know, a lot or whatever.
Sure. You know, I was thinking throughout this that, like, I feel like this is more in the spirit of what I would want from a Resident Evil movie than I think any Resident Evil movie has been or will be. Mm-hmm. Granted, we only saw the first one, which we covered on the podcast, and like that did not feel like the spirit of Resident Evil to me. And then we've seen the trailer for this new Netflix one coming out that looks like it's like trying to be slavishly dedicated to, you know, the series.
To
it's
an
like,
absurd degree.
Yeah, and it's like, I think that's going to take me out of it to constantly be like, hey, remember this item? Remember this itchy, tasty journal?
The
it's
people
just like,
who made this movie obviously played the video games.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think that's why I just don't get excited for video game movies is because like, I don't know if I get what I want out of video games from the video games, you know? It's like I've talked a million times about Metal Gear. I don't need that movie. I got that story from the video games.
You know? I think the best thing that a director or a production company that acquires a license to a video game can do is not retell the story in the video game, but tell a different story in that universe.
Yeah, but like a good one, because I think of Resident Evil.
Yeah,
and
a
like,
good one.
Yeah, but like that's kind of what they did with the first Resident Evil. Or you know what? I don't think that's what they did. I think something like the first Resident Evil or the Mario Brothers movie and things like that is more just studio executives that are just like, okay, we've got the IP here. We've got the name or whatever. So like, we'll have the characters and then just like, they don't understand anything about the spirit of that world or that universe.
Yeah,
or anything,
like they
you know?
Just take a few buzzwords and kind of just
oh, they
that.
Jump.
Yeah.
They got bombs. There's
especially
yeah.
that era of video game movies. You know, it's... Yeah, not very similar. Just like, you know, look at the Blood Rain movie that we watched. That was
oh,
just
God.
Like
I shut that out of my brain. I think
yeah, it was not at all what the video games were like. And granted, the video games have a paper thin story, so there's not much to work with there. But
yeah. Yeah, anyway. But this is like there was a part where like somber piano music was playing that sounded like almost RE save room mm-hmm. music, and that's what made me think like you know what this is kind of the spirit that I want where it's like okay we're in this situation where Resident Evil has done like a mansion or a police station or even they've done a train on Resident Evil Zero and. It's just like, give me that thing of like, okay, normal people now have to fight off these zombies and they're turning quickly. It's a terrible situation. Like, this felt like that spirit of Resident Evil to me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, this artificial infection. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, very similar, similar origins for the T-virus and then whatever this outbreak is.
Yeah, if this was just called Resident Evil, I'd be like, that Resident Evil movie kicked ass.
Yes, Korean Resident Evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
The movie.
Yes. Yeah, this is us not being huge zombie movie people. I'm trying to think. Like, I know people love 28 Days Later.
I haven't seen that.
And I know that's got the fast zombie stuff, too. But people love that. I'd be up for that sometime.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those movies that I always hear about, and I just never bothered to watch because I don't like zombie movies. But, you know, that being said, I also always heard about Train to Busan, and I'm so glad that I watched it because I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, yeah. There is that part of the beginning, though, that's very confusing. This movie was made in 2016. Where the main actor is giving a Wii to his daughter. Mm-hmm. And that is like if I made a movie right now where I'm like, I got you a hell of a gift. Here's a Vita. You know, like something from like 10 years ago, basically. It's like, it's got the pack in. It's got Mario Brothers U. That's a solid one. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, this girl, I can't tell the age of a child. What is she, 5?
12? I don't know.
I don't know.
You saw how when I met the neighbor kid.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you, 6? He's 2. Yeah. Okay, great.
Well, they kind of all look the same when they're around that age. Right?
I just never know. I figure like if someone's walking, they're somewhere between, if they're walking and they're tiny, I think they're between 2 and 6. If they seem like a pre-teenager, they're between like 8 and 12. And then if they're just dumb dorks, they're teenagers.
Yeah, I think those are the right ages.
Yeah,
I think those are the categories.
Right.
But if you're, you know, an undiscerning child, you know, you're not going to complain about getting a Wii. I could see her reluctance because I think that was the third Wii that she got.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, the whole point was to suggest that the father is like kind of an absentee dad. So maybe it is speaking to how out of touch he is that he got her a old console
that's
from
true.
The previous generation. But who knows? Hey, it's better
possibly.
Than a Wii U, right?
It is. It is much better than a Wii U, yes. Trying to think. The setting, the train setting, I thought was really effective here because it's just, in terms of places to be during a situation like this, that's a bad one. You're super confined. You know, you can't easily get off it. Obviously, they can't, like, stop the train, so it's moving. So it's like, we're just stuck in these tiny boxes. And, like, it leads to some cool moments when they're trying to be, like, sneaky. Like, when they go through tunnels, they're trying to sneak past. And so they're crawling through, like, the luggage areas above the aisles. I thought that was super nice. And, like, they did the thing where they knocked the golf balls out, and that's how they learned that sound can also mm-hmm. distract them. So they're tossing purses and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like a stealth part, you know?
It was really neat how, you know, not every interaction with the the zombies were really violent. Like the one part where they are, there's the three guys, the main dude, the badass dude, and the baseball player kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get through a few carts where it's just like they brute force their way through. And then they're in that one room where there's, I think at this point they're actually with the other group and they're wondering how to get past this big group of zombies. And they look on like the, where people put their luggage on that like shelf at the top and they decide to crawl through there. So there's like stealth elements mm-hmm. too. It's really neat. I just like the variety of the interactions with the zombies.
Yeah, and the other people, because like when the one group of people, like kind of our heroes, mm-hmm. makes it to this other one, there is this like business asshole guy that is full on just like, he doesn't want to let them in, he's paranoid, and he starts like lying about like, they're infected, oh my god, I saw him turning, and like turning people against people, which I know that's a zombie thing that happens in movies, but I thought it was effective here, and it makes you hate that dude.
Yeah, super hate, and like, too, you know, the people... I have little sympathy for the other people in the cart because at that point it's pretty obvious when someone's infected. They can't form a coherent sentence and their eyes are white and they're trying to kill you.
All of them were just like standing up, just calmly talking to them. You know?
Yeah, it was absurd. But
and he sacrifices the cheerleader like to get out of the way. At one point he just tosses her and she gets turned.
I find solace in this book that I read about the inherent kindness of mankind and how in really terrible situations people assume the worst, that it would be a lot like that. Like people, you know, would, you know, try to do anything just to protect themselves and sacrifice everyone else. But the reality is that bad situations, despite what this movie suggests, can often bring out the best in people. So it's something to put in your pocket if you're ever feeling blue about mankind.
Yeah, I remember like early on, I couldn't tell if Cool Dude was going to be mm-hmm. kind of framed as like an asshole or anything, because there's a thing where they're waiting for the bathroom and I didn't know if he was like trying to like, I didn't get a sense yet if he was supposed to be good or bad or anything like that. And very quickly you realize like, oh, he's actually super great and he sacrifices himself for his wife and everything. And it's kind of,
and everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just seems to be like one of the true like heroes of the film.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, he's repeatedly saves people in that movie and he's just, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Fearless.
Indeed. And then kind of the final boss zombie, or the last one, is they've gotten rid of the rest of the zombies on the train, but then shitty business guy turns mm-hmm. and he has this kind of pathetic, just like he's like asking for his mom basically at the end before he fully turns. And then once he actually does the full turn, it's like he gets tossed over the edge and under the wheels and everything. Yeah. So, but he's not the last one to die because main dude, as we said at the beginning, kills himself there because he is bitten on the way down. Or no, was he bit? He was bit earlier, right?
No, the business guy bit him in the hand.
That's right. Cool dude got bit at that girl when the door was getting shut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool dude, yeah. Cool dude got bit at the door, yeah.
And business dude bit the main guy's hand. That's right, yeah. I thought it was great. At the end, basically the only real survivors from the train are the pregnant woman and the daughter. Mm-hmm. And they walk through a tunnel. They get to like a military checkpoint, you know. They're about to get killed.
Yeah.
And then she starts singing a song, the daughter, and they're like, oh, she's a human, mm-hmm. and the movie ends.
Yeah, I love the ambiguity, too, of, like, you don't really know. I mean, obviously, it's heavily implied, obviously, that they are, you know, in a quarantine zone, they're going to be safe, but you don't know what that's like. You don't know anything like that. It doesn't show you what is going on exactly in Busan, but, like, it can be inferred that it's heavily controlled by the military at that point. But yes, fantastic movie. Absolutely mm-hmm. fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. I was I was kind of almost reluctant to watch it because, like I said, not big on zombie movies, but because I just feel like they're so formulaic. It's hard to take that idea and treat it in different ways. And this movie was totally a different treatment of that idea, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's, it doesn't turn everything we know about, like, zombie lore and everything on its head or anything. It operates by a lot of the same rules and everything. I think it is just done with a more tactful hand than a lot of kind of more schlocky horror movies or zombie movies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And you know, one of the other elements of it, and this is something that we are seeing in a lot of, like, the South Korean film and TV shows that permeate the wider mainstream or Western audience, I guess I should say, is there's a lot of, like, you know, class warfare kind mm-hmm. of metaphors.
Parasite.
Going on. Yeah, Parasite, yeah. Squid Game, obviously, mm-hmm. and this as well, which is worth acknowledging. But even regardless of that, that aside, I should say, it's fantastic.
It was. And, so, glad to watch it. We were between this and The Host, mm-hmm. and we decided to let Rotten Tomatoes choose for us, and it was between 94% and 93%, and this one had the 1% edge, so we went with that.
Well, we ended up we flipped a coin because it was so close.
It was so close, yeah, we did a flip. So, Tails Train, Heads Host.
Yeah, we'll have to do The Host soon. I love Parasite so much. Parasite's one of my favorite movies, but I didn't love the other movies I've seen from
Snowpiercer.
Yeah, Snowpiercer. Oh, another train movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was fine. And Okja, which is a Netflix movie, was also just fine.
Yeah.
So that's why I like, you know, I'm not chomping at the bit to see The Host, but.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Train to Busan, thumbs up from both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out.
You check it out on Amazon Prime. It's there.
Oh, right. Amazon Prime. That's where we found it. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, I was going to do a segue that wasn't going to work. I was going to do a check
Let's
that out.
Let's take a train to our Patreon.
That's, I was going
to
do, like, check that out, and let's give a shout out, but, like, that doesn't work at all. Were you about to do a train sound? Yeah, is that what you're going to do?
How did you know?
I could just see your lips pursing. That's what you're going for, right?
You know,
or are we going to do choo-choo?
I was listening to the Min-Max show, as I do, and they had a question that was, like, how many chuggas before choo-choo?
Choo-choo. That's it.
So you do... You do six.
Chugga, 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 chugga. Six individual chuggas, three chugga chuggas.
Chugga, 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 choo, choo.
Yeah, that seems right.
Feels right, yeah.
Yes. Thank you to all of our patrons. Patreon.com/banningthestream. We keep it simple for you. We got one $5 tier. It gets you ad-free episodes.
Wow.
It gets you access to our Discord.
Wow.
It gets you early access to our episodes a day early. And it gets something for you, written for you by Bonk. It's a Bonku. Bonk, do we have anyone this week?
We sure do, Daniel.
Who do we have?
This week, we are honoring our friend Mark. That's Mark with a C.
Oh.
So Mark with a K if you're listening. Just relax. Okay, it's not your week.
All right. This is Mark with a C. Yep.
Week. Yeah. Mark with a C. This Bonku is for you. Such a foolish man to think he could take on Mark and leave in one piece.
Oh, geez. Mark is an intimidating man, a fighter.
I get that feeling. I mean, he has the balls to go with C instead of K, so that says something about
true.
Him.
True. I don't know if that was his choice, though.
No, I think that was his choice. I think as soon as he popped out of his mom, he was like, see, not K.
There you go, Mark. You're a strong man and a weirdly intelligent baby.
Yeah, and backwards your name spells Cram, so.
That's fun. That's a fun time.
Cram that in your noggin. Ha! We'll go.
We'll go. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tom Monda, thank you very much for the theme song. Bonk, thank you so much for joining me each and every week.
Oh, thank you.
Here on the show, and we will see you all next week.
Bye.